Good evening, everyone. Welcome to People's Church. I've got a question for you as we get into the night tonight for you to ponder. I've got to spend a minute just getting set up here. When you think of everything you brought with you tonight on your person and perhaps in a bag, if you have a bag, what's the most valuable thing that you have on you? Think about it for a second. I've got to get set up for a minute. I wanted to share my answer with you. The most valuable thing I have on me at the moment is, it's actually a tie. It's between, I have a picture in my wallet of my wife and I when we were still just dating. And it's my favorite picture of us together, because it reminds me I was once young. So it's between that and it's my Zimbabwean driver's license, which is made of metal. Oh, that doesn't, there you go. Now you can. It's it reminds me of where I'm from. The things that are most valuable on me, I'm judging that by the case of, you know, if I lost my wallet, what would I be most sad about? What would I be most frustrated about? It wouldn't be the credit cards in there or anything else. I would be most sad about losing that picture and that driver's license more than anything else in that wallet. And I think it's because those things are irreplaceable. They're sentimental, yes, they have a sentimental attachment to me, but they're also irreplaceable, as many sentimental things are. And perhaps you have a similar answer to that question. The most valuable thing that you have on you isn't something that is of much monetary value, but has great sentimental value to you. And because of that sentimental value, you cannot replace it. Anything that you would bring in to try and replace it would never quite live up to it or be quite the same. And so you know to you, that is irreplaceable. And that's the thing about things that are irreplaceable, is that they are more valuable because of that. And it's that very characteristic of time that makes it so valuable too. The fact that time is irreplaceable. It is one of the very few things in our life that is completely irreplaceable. We're to define time in a few different ways. The first thing that we know about time is that it is non-renewable. That is, that once you've used it, you cannot get it back. You can't go back and get that same bit of it back again. It's gone. It's forever gone. The second thing we know is that it is finite. We only get a certain amount of it. And then once that amount is up, it's finished. And the third thing we know is that it is unpredictable. Nobody really knows exactly how much of it they are going to receive. Your life can end at any point, and also your life can change at any point. So perhaps what you're able to do now, tomorrow you're not going to be able to do that for one reason or another. So it's unpredictable, as life is unpredictable too. Because of these characteristics of time, it is a very precious resource. We can make more money often, but we can't make more time. And that characteristic of time makes it more valuable than money. And it's also that characteristic of time which makes the neglect of time so costly. We can't get it back. Once we've used up what we have, it's gone for good. And so when we waste time, it is very, very costly to us as well. Now, those truths about the nature of time and how we exist are not they're not just found in the Bible. We don't have to turn to the Bible to see that and to know that that's true of the world in which we live in. And that sentiment about it is a universally agreed upon sentiment. But there is something that as Christians we can look to in the scripture and find within us a unique interest in time management. We should, more than the rest, be interested in time management, because the Bible teaches us two things on the subject of time. And these two things should form for us the paradigm that we build our structure of time management out of. And so what are these two things? The first thing that the Bible strongly, strongly emphasizes is that life is very, very short. We see that in quite a few places in Scripture. I want to bring out just three of them. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Very fleeting. Psalm 39 verse 4 says, "Show me, Lord, my life's end, the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." And the First Chronicles chapter 29 verse 15 says, "We are all foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were our ancestors. Our days on the earth are like a shadow without hope." It's not a nice thought. It's not something that we like to think about very much, but the Bible is insistent that life is very, very short. And I think the point that God is trying to make by insisting to us how short life really is to bring us to one very important place. And that place is found in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, where it says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." See, that's the point. That's why the Bible is insisting that we understand that life is short. Because by which, contrary to what we might think is the natural reaction of finding out that life is short, the natural reaction might be that we fall into some sense of depression or anxiety as we contemplate the shortness of life. Instead, it leads us to wisdom. To wisdom. Why is that? Why is it that it leads us to wisdom? Well, it's because that's only the first truth about time and about time management that the Bible speaks about. The second truth, which must go hand in hand along with it, helps us when we bring both of them together to be brought to a place of wisdom when we contemplate how short life is. And that second thing that the Bible insists on is that our lives are worth something. They are meaningful. The first thing we learn is they are short. And the second thing we learn is that they are meaningful. And when we bring both of those two things together, we are led to wisdom. You see, time is only valuable if you believe that your life has value. If you believe that what you can achieve with the time that you are given is something significant. If you believe that your life is meaningless, then time, the time that you have on this earth, really isn't anything that you're excited about, anything that you see as valuable. Instead, it's meaningless, or at worst, it's agonizing because it just prolongs the pain that you feel as you live. But the Bible insists to us that our lives have tremendous value. It will tell us time and time again that you have a purpose, that you have good work set out for you to do, that you are transformed and now have opportunities to develop in Christ's likeness and to shine as the salt and light of this world. And when we look at it that way, then time is a gift. And we must be stewards of that gift, using it wisely, not squandering the gift that God has given us, perhaps one of the most valuable gifts that God has given us. And so if we do squander it, we're squandering one of the most valuable things that we have in our possession. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17 is perhaps the most strongly, the verse that most strongly brings out this truth for me. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17 says this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So we have an admonition in this verse, a calling to live not as unwise, but as wise, saying, be careful, be wise. And how is it that we are to live wise? Well, it's found in this verse: to make the most of every opportunity. To make the most of every opportunity. It goes on to say, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that's how we're going to find ourselves as people who manage time well. One, we make the most of every opportunity that God has given us. And two, we understand what the Lord's will is. This is going to form the paradigm of time management that we go over. We must make the best use of the time that God has given us to get the full value out of the time that we have. And to do this, we have to understand what the will of the Lord is. Therefore, time management is the way in which we make the best use of the time we have, and it's inseparably linked to understanding what the will of the Lord is. Only when we understand what the will of the Lord is will we make the best use of the time that we have. And so that forms step one in time management. And when we say understanding what the will of the Lord is, really what we're saying is set priorities. You can just kind of package it in that way too. We must be good at setting priorities. When we know what God's desired purpose is for our lives, we can use that information to set priorities. We must arrange our lives in light of our priorities. And so what is a priority? How do we define this? And Dr. Miles Monroe says something about priorities. He has four sort of little definitions of what a priority looks like. A priority is, number one, something that has prior claim on us. Prior claim on us. And you think of the will of the Lord, the will of our Creator. Does that have a prior claim on how we spend our time? Absolutely. The second thing is that it's something that merits our primary attention. Does our Lord and Savior merit our primary attention? Absolutely. It's something that receives our primary resources. So the best part of our energy, the best part of our day, does God merit that? Absolutely He does. And something that has the right to supersede other things. Now this is an interesting one. Because time management will not always look like you're choosing between doing something good and doing something bad. Time management will sometimes look like the choice between doing something good and doing something better. Doing the best thing. We must make sure we're good at making those distinctions too. That better is going to be defined by our priorities. There's plenty of things in this world that would be good for you to set your hand to. But there's a smaller number of things that God actually wills for you to do. And He will reveal that to you by the gifts that He has put within you, by the opportunities that you will see around you, by the teaching that He brings into your life. He will reveal what it is that He wants you to spend your time on. But it's going to be for you at making choices between what is good and what is better. To do that, you must have a vision for where you see your life heading towards. You must have goals in mind. You must have dreams and desires of what it is that you want to achieve, because your life does have a purpose. God wants you to achieve things in this world. And what so often happens is we get caught up in trying to do a whole multiplicity of good things that we lose sight of having any vision, of having any real discernment of what is my purpose in this world. And what you'll learn, both from management, if you're a part of a company, but just generally as you live, is that busyness does not equal productivity. Okay? We can be very busy and achieve very little as a result. Your busyness does not really lead to productivity. But vision and priorities and goal setting, that does lead to productivity in the best areas of your life. We often live lives that are highly busy and low in productivity. I think busyness has become one of the most, it's become a virtue in our society today. How often have you had this conversation? How are you? Oh, I'm busy. How busy are you? Oh, I'm very busy. That's just a very, very common conversation that I have. We no longer say that I'm fine or I'm good. Well, we do say that. But we say busy because it's a thing that we can say that somehow makes people know, oh, I'm important. I'm doing something good. Because if you're not busy, what does that say about you? Oh, what would it mean for your life if you didn't have a lot going on? So you want to make sure people know that you're busy. But busyness does not equal productivity. And we must remember that too. If we are unaware of the purpose that God has for our life, we're going to spend our time jumping around in crisis mode, jumping from thing to thing, that thing that feels most pressing. We will be constrained by all kinds of different demands as we feel them press in upon our time and attention. And so we're going to be split in 1,000 different directions and yet never really achieve depth in any one of them. Instead, we need to be aware of the purpose that we have, of the purpose that God has set before us, and we need to walk towards it as well. This is not to say that discovering your purpose and setting your priorities and setting your schedule will make you feel more relaxed. It probably won't, to be honest. I'm not trying to say we need to manage our time well so we have lots of downtime. That's not really the purpose of time management, though it will help you mentally to be able to focus in on the right things in your life. If you read the book of Mark, you'll see that Jesus Christ is one of the busiest people you've ever met. I mean, he's always going, going, going. His schedule is starting early in the morning, finishing late at night. He is driven, single-mindedly devoted to his cause. And learning your priorities will help you to set goals. And those goals will help you guard your life from undue influence, which means saying no to the wrong things. That's what it's going to help you to do. It's going to help you to say no to the wrong things. And it's also going to guard your life from procrastination by enabling you to say yes to the right things as well. Now, I realize that to do time management well, you need to know what the will of the Lord is in your life. And I want to encourage you in this. Discovering the will of the Lord, it's a whole series of sermons unto itself. But if I were to say one thing on the matter, excuse me. I'm sick at the moment. It would be this. 90% of what God wills for your life is the same for everybody. He desires you to be like Christ. He desires so much more from changing your heart than he does about your external circumstance. That is where he's going to be doing his primary work. That's where he's going to be doing his primary, he's going to be building the masterpiece of your life. It starts with your heart. So when I say knowing the will of God for your life, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have to figure out the nuts and bolts of do I choose this job or that job or this path in life or that path in life. 90% of it's going to be plain in scripture. You're going to understand what it is that God wants you to do simply by reading his word, the thing that is true for all believers. And so don't be discouraged by thinking, well, I don't know how to set my priorities until I know what the will of God is. You do know what the will of God is when you read your Bible. Now, God has set up the world in such a way as this. The most important things in life, and by that I mean the things in life that matter the most, those things you cannot make up for when you misspend your time. And I want to explain this in another way. If you have an exam tomorrow and you haven't studied a word for it, you are able to study all night, not sleep, just grind and grind and grind and grind. And when you get to that exam tomorrow, you can pull out a rabbit from your hat and make a C, a glorious C, and you'll pass. It's possible to do that. It's possible to pull an all-nighter and pass an exam. That's possible. Not recommended, but possible. But the most important things in life, you can't pull an all-nighter to make up for them. You can't pull an all-nighter to be a good parent, to grow in Christ-likeness, to realize the vocation and live to the fullness of the vocation that God has given you. And the most important areas of life, neglect is cumulative. Neglect adds up over time, and there's no way of removing that easily, not quickly. The way you build these types of things in your life, the way you build upon the relationship you have with God, upon being a good parent or a good spouse, the way you build on developing your skill set at work and at what God has given you to do, will be small amounts of time consistently over a long period of time. This is true of relationships, Christian maturity, physical health, and knowing your call, your vocation, developing your skills to do what God has asked you to do. All of these things, the way in which we achieve them is building upon them small amounts of time over a long period of time. Investing time into these areas has a cumulative effect too. The cumulative effect means that there will be an outcome over time. It builds and builds and builds little by little over time. But busyness has no cumulative value. Simply going here and there and this and that and this and that. When you get to the end of it, when you measure the weight of all that you've achieved with that busyness, it will weigh nothing. It'll come to nothing. But when you weigh the small amount of times invested over a long period of time into Christian maturity, into relationships, into physical health, it will weigh something heavy over time. It has a cumulative effect. God's will for your life is far more about who you are than what you will do. And in that sense, that is one of the most important areas of your life, and the area that you must invest cumulative time, small amounts of time over a long period of time. That is what I want to encourage you with time management today. When you set priorities, when you set goals, when you try and understand what the will of the Lord is, remember this: in the most important areas of life, God is going to make it work small amounts of time over a long period of time. And so the question I want you to ask yourself tonight is, where do I need to start making those consistent deposits of time? It's a new year. It's time to turn over a new leaf, to shake off the old and embrace the new. And as you do that, set goals for the time that you have. Set goals to be wise with the time that you have been given. We are called to live as wise, not as unwise. What would an unwise attitude towards time look like? It'll contain phrases like, I'll make up for it later. I want to focus my time on things that have little or no value. I purposelessness, goalless, to be goalless, that is what it's going to look like to live unwise types of lives. So what does it look like to be wise? Well, wisdom takes in the idea that the most important things in life, we cannot make up for misspent time. It takes small amounts of deposit over a long period of time. The second thing it'll take into account is to know that we need to know what stage of life we're in. There are things that you are able to do now that you won't be able to do later. And there are things that you're not able to do now that you will be able to do later. And you must be wise in making those types of choices. If you're a student, perhaps it is not the right time for you to be in a relationship, but it will be one day. Perhaps if you have a young family and you're thinking about going back to school, perhaps that is the right time, but perhaps it's not the right time. Maybe that'll come later too. We need to be wise about the stage of life that we're in, and your priorities will change depending on the stage of life that you're in. So think about, what is my current stage of life? Am I a student? Am I working? Am I retired? Do I have a family? Am I single? Am I married? What is my past experience? Do I have debt in my past which I need to make up for? Is there generational sin that I know that I'm affected by? Perhaps my parents were, abusive, and that's something I need to deal with in my life before I need to go on. And what are my future hopes and dreams? Where do you see yourself professionally, physically, spiritually, relationally? Where do you see yourself in the future? Asking these questions is going to help you understand what it is I need to be setting as my priorities and my goals in life right now. To struggle to come to those right conclusions, to be able to say no to the good things in light of the better things. Perhaps because that good thing you're saying no to will come later in life. So I want to give you an example from my current situation as well. My situation, as it stands right now, means that I need to put consistent deposits of time in speaking to my family. So my family lives on the other side of the world. That's the season of life that I live in. My parents and my brother and sister all live in Australia. And so they're very far away, and because of that, I need to put extra effort into talking to them. In my past, when I look at my past and who I am right now, I see that I am prone to neglect family time. And that's a sin. It's not something that I'm proud of at all. And so I need to work harder because I need to overcome that sin, that persistent sin in my life too. I need to prioritize time with my family so that I might overcome that. And my future is when I look at the influence I want to have on my family, I want to be a good son. I want to be a good model of Christ to them as well. And so when I look at those areas of my life, it can help me prioritize how I need to spend some aspect of my time. I need to make sure I'm calling them often. I need to make sure I set it in my calendar to do so. You see, we need to be wise about the stage of life we're in so we're able to set the right types of priorities and the right types of goals. My dad always used to say to me when I was going through university, "What are we trying to achieve right now?" And I think that's a good question to ponder. What are you trying to achieve right now? You know, there are good things that might come later in your life, but answer the question, what it is that God wants you to achieve right now. Some of you already know where you need to start spending those cumulative time, putting small amounts of time over a long period of time. Here's my piece of advice. You must schedule it. You must schedule it if you're able to do so. Because if you don't manage your schedule, I guarantee you, you won't set the right type of structure in your life to be able to achieve these things. Plan your day. Factor in these priorities. Make goals out of these priorities. Goals that are manageable. Goals that are measurable so you can see them as you are achieving them. You must take control of your time, or you will be controlled by the influences around you and the influences within you. You'll be, as the Bible describes it, be tossed about by the waves. That is how you'll live in terms of how you spend your time. And once you set that schedule, you must be self-controlled and disciplined in order to keep it. And in that area, I know we all need God's help. We need God's help to be self-controlled. We need God's help to be disciplined in how we spend your time. If that's your problem, you're not alone. That's my problem too. But my encouragement to you is to use the time that God has given you wisely. It is one of the very few things in this world that are non-renewable. We'll never get it back. And that makes it one of the most valuable gifts that God has given us. We all still have access to this gift. So let us, wherever you are in life, use the rest of the time that God has given you wisely. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we need your help in this, Lord. Teach us, grow us, and change us, Lord, to be people who live not as unwise, but as wise, making the use of every opportunity that you have given us. For wherever we are along the journey, Lord, perhaps we are where you still need to reveal to us where we need to spend our time. Perhaps you already have revealed that to us, and we need just the strength and the self-discipline to do what we already know you're asking us to do. Wherever we are, Lord, I pray you might help us to take the necessary step forward, to be strengthened in and of our soul, so that we might go forward and live as those who are wise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.